Eliel, thank you so much for sharing that wonderful song with us this morning. How fitting and appropriate for us to hear those words in these times. It feels like there are so many voices that are battling to be heard, and we are all struggling to know what is the right path forward in these uncertain times. But we as followers of Christ should be striving to do all we can to bring peace and unity to this world. I hope that each of you felt as challenged, blessed, and affirmed as I did after hearing this song that Eliel shared with us this morning. As we continue in worship this morning, I invite you to join your heart in prayer with mine. God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder how many of you have worshiped in churches where Ascension Sunday was acknowledged as being more than just a regular Sunday. Last week, I had the opportunity to join with our rehearsing scripture group, and a couple of them mentioned that they didn't realize that Ascension Sunday was a thing. They had certainly heard the story of Christ's ascension, but didn't realize there was a dedicated Sunday for it. This surprised me because I grew up knowing that the Sunday before Pentecost is always Ascension Sunday. For me, they go hand in hand like Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. Ascension Sunday and Pentecost are each important on their own, but when they are joined together and placed side by side with their counterpart, their stories are even more powerful. Ascension Sunday pivots us from the season of Easter into the season of Pentecost. It moves us from the narrative of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection into the life of the early church and the work that the earliest followers of Christ are called to do, a call that we as present-day Christians are still living out. But before we jump into our text for today, there might be a few things that we find helpful to hear and to connect with as we begin. First off, the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke were written by the same author. We know this because at the beginning of each book, the author is speaking to someone named Theophilus. And in the first verse of the first chapter of the book of Acts, the author tells us about what he wrote in his first book, the Gospel of Luke. So it's clear that Luke and Acts are not only written by the same person, but they are also intended to be read by the same audience. So as we read each of these books, there are a lot of similar images and similar themes and similar language if we were to read them starting with chapter 1 of Luke and finishing with the last chapter of Acts. Each of these books begins with a miraculous event. In Luke, it is the annunciation of the birth of Christ and then the birth of Christ. In Acts, it's the ascension and then the arrival of the Holy Spirit. There are people in both books who have their lives that are turned upside down by these events. Joseph and Mary and Zechariah and Elizabeth and the first Christians and the followers of Christ. And did you know that in both Luke and Acts, we have ascension narratives? As we arrive at the end of the Gospel of Luke, we read a very brief account of the ascension of Christ and a report that the disciples responded by worshiping and celebrating and returning to the temple in Jerusalem where they blessed God. Christ's earthly ministry in Luke ends with Jesus ascending into heaven on the same day he rose from the dead. But when we arrive at the book of Acts, we get to experience another telling of the ascension story. But this one has a lot more details than the Luke version. In Acts, Jesus spends 40 days with the disciples, and he continues to teach them about the kingdom of heaven. He tells them to wait for what is coming. He tells them that the Holy Spirit will appear on the scene not many days from now. The disciples assume that the arrival of the Holy Spirit means that the kingdom of Israel will soon be restored. Jesus calmly redirects them, tells them that they are focusing on the wrong thing. It's nice to know that some things are still the same. The disciples are still missing the point sometimes. One author I read this week said that the disciples shouldn't be asking when will the end come, but what are we called to do while we wait for the end to come? The ascension story in Acts ends with the disciples looking to heaven and just standing there. Maybe they are hoping that Jesus forgot to tell them one more thing and he's going to come back. Or maybe they are waiting to see if the Holy Spirit is going to descend right then and there. And as they're standing there, a little shocked, probably a lot confused, which, by the way, are completely normal responses, haven't given their circumstances, these two messengers show up. Similar to the messengers that greet the women at the empty tomb. And just like those messengers who ask an obvious question, or a question rather with an obvious answer, these messengers ask the disciples, "Why are you staring up at heaven? Jesus has been taken to heaven and he will come back in the same way." Now, I always thought it was a little rude for these messengers to ask a question that has an obvious answer. The disciples just saw something miraculous. Wouldn't you be standing there staring at the sky if you just saw someone that you loved and cared for taken up on a cloud? However, I think the messengers asked this question to help snap the disciples back to their reality. They had been given one final command and challenge from the risen Lord. "You will go to the ends of the earth and tell everyone you meet about me and about what I have taught you." At this time, the disciples have been following Jesus, and Jesus has been preparing them for this moment, the moment when he is no longer physically present with them. But unlike the Gospel of Luke, Jesus doesn't just leave the disciples to their own devices. No, he has spent time with them and told them that there is another source of encouragement and power that is going to arrive soon after he leaves and to continue on the journey with them. So not only do we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, but we also now have a link from our humanity here on earth to Jesus's humanity in heaven. The ascension story is like a reversal of the incarnation. Instead of heaven descending to earth, now earth is ascending to heaven. While he lived on this earth, Christ showed us the way to live. And even as Christ finishes his ministry on earth, he is still showing us the way we will travel and providing us with companions on the journey. But now we have the disciples who are again just waiting for what's next. They know the Holy Spirit is coming in not so many days from now, but they aren't sure when that will be. And so they are now stuck in this weird in-between time. Karl Barth calls this time between Ascension and Pentecost a significant pause. This odd time between two mighty acts of God. The disciples are in a place where they are looking back and looking forward and looking up all at the same time. They're looking back at where they've been and what they've done and are probably wondering if they can just go back to that time and that place because it's familiar and safe. And they are looking forward because at least they know eventually what's going to happen. But in true Jesus form, there is not a date. They just know that there's something to look forward to. And as they wait, I can't help that maybe they cast their eyes upward, hoping to see a glimpse of Jesus still floating around in the heavens or a flicker of something that will give them a heads up for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. I imagine that over the course of the last 11 weeks, you too have found yourself looking back and looking forward and looking up. In an attempt to have a little normalcy, I decided not only to come to the church to record this sermon, but to write it. It was the first time that I'd spent more than 30 minutes in the church building since March 17th. And I will admit that it felt a little odd. It felt very odd, in fact. As I walked down the hall, posters that are advertising Holy Week services and a Lenten yoga class and a caregiver's workshop are still on the walls. I walked over to the children's wing to get some godly play stories to take home with me. And as I looked into one of the classrooms, Lego sculptures still sat on the table, waiting to be completed by their creators. Birthdays for the Seeking the Kingdom class for the month of March are still on the board. And I went into the children's worship care room to get a book, and everything was set up, ready to greet the children that we planned on having in that space on March 15th. Even now, as I stand in Carriker, the tables are still up from Wednesday night supper, the last time that many of us gathered in person together. It was a very surreal experience, like everything had frozen in time. And I found myself thinking back over the last 11 weeks and wishing that I knew the last time I hugged some of my kids and some of you was going to be the last time for a while. I might have held on for just a little longer. I found myself longing to go back to the way things were, just to be around people I care for and love to spend time with, and to not have to remember which door handles I touch so I can go back and wipe them down as I'm leaving. I'm sure many of you have had similar thoughts. If we only knew then what we know now, what would we have done differently if we could? But like the disciples, I find myself looking forward as well, as our staff continues to have conversations about how to best plan for whenever we're able to be back together. We are forced to think about what a new normal looks like, because I think we can all accept that when we do gather back together again, it's not going to be what it looked like or felt like on March 8th when we were together for worship. When you are finally able to see family again for the first time in a while, I bet you're not going to take for granted the drop-in visits or the last-minute road trips. And while I love being able to connect with family and friends and our children and adults through technology, I cannot wait to be back together with them in person. There are many things we have to look forward to. And yet, like the disciples, we just can't make plans until we know more. Now, I don't think the disciples have been looking up in the same way that I have over these last couple of weeks, but I usually find myself looking up as I'm laying in my hammock on my apartment balcony. There is a beautiful tree that I have had the pleasure of watching bloom this spring, and it is now filling with birds who come to visit the bird feeders that I have hung. And we have had many lovely days, haven't we, in these last several weeks? And so I will often end my day with laying in the hammock and holding a book. Sometimes I try to read, but more often than not, I lay the book aside and I find myself just gazing up into the sky, watching the clouds float by. I allow myself to just be, to just soak in the sunshine and to bask in the presence of God, our Creator. So maybe the disciples chose to look up not because they're hoping to see a glimpse of Jesus, but because each time their eyes skim the heavens, they are reminding themselves of the one who went before them to show them the way. They are reminding themselves that they are not just connected with those that they will witness to here on earth, but they are also now connected in a different way to the great cloud of witnesses in heaven. We find ourselves in the midst of a significant pause, stuck here in the in-between. We can't go back to the way things were, and we can't yet move into the new normal on the way forward. So we're just here, waiting, and who knows for how long. But remember, the question isn't when will the end come, but what are we called to do while we wait for the end to come? This is the question that our church should be asking. It is clear and has become even clearer over the last few weeks that church isn't just the place we meet and the building we meet in. Church is made up of the people who fill it. And when we go out from the building we call church, we, the people, become the church out in the world. That, my friends, is something that cannot be taken away by anything or anyone. Just as the Holy Spirit was with the disciples as they traveled to the ends of the earth, the Holy Spirit is with us now as we stay in our homes and keep our distance from those around us. But that doesn't mean that the work of the church isn't happening or that the church can't do its work. In fact, now more than ever is a chance for us to think about what church really means and how we want to live into that calling as the people of First Baptist. But how do we hear that calling in the midst of so much anxiety and uncertainty and fear? In his book, The Way of the Heart, Henry Nouwen says this: "Maybe our call is to help people concentrate on the real but often hidden event of God's active presence in their lives. Maybe we shouldn't be asking how to keep people busy, but how to keep them from being so busy that they can no longer hear the voice of God who speaks in the silence. This is the challenge for us today and this week, for us to be still long enough to hear the voice of God. When we open our hearts and ears and we allow our bodies to experience true stillness, we might be surprised what God will share. What would it look like if we as a congregation took this time of significant pause to truly lean into the calling God has for us and to be still enough so we can hear the voice of God and to be open to the ways the Holy Spirit is moving among us, even now in this time when we are apart? On this Ascension Sunday, may we not be looking over our shoulder at the way things used to be. May we not be looking so far ahead that we miss the present. May we not stand with our mouths open, staring heavenward at the thing that feels familiar disappears from our sight. As we finish this Easter season and prepare for the arrival of the Holy Spirit and for the celebration of Pentecost, may we be open to the ways the Holy Spirit is moving around and among us. May we allow ourselves to be still and to be open to a new normal, a new life, and a new church as we continue to share the good news with all who need to hear, see, and experience it. May it be so. Amen.